Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, presented by 13 Fishing Canada. Make your own luck. We're here to scratch that angling itch and talk everything fishing. Join us as we sit down with special guests from across the industry. Now, here's your hosts, Brandon Cater and Logan Lewis.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. We have another exciting episode. We have Mike Olson from Fish Addictions TV joining us today. But before we jump into that, my name is Brandon. If you haven't been here before, thank you for tuning in. I'm here with my co-host, Logan Lewis. We're just a couple of dudes that love to talk fishing, and we're right here in the heart of the prairies, Saskatchewan, Canada. Logan, how are you today?
I was good the last time you saw me. I don't know if people could tell from my voice, and in this interview, little bit of a hoarse throat right now, but I can't complain because we got out and had a hell of a day on the water, eh?
Yeah, we sure did. I mean, I've hardly got out as much as I'd like to at all this hard water season. Now that it's coming to an end, it was really nice to get out and have a good day. I mean, it's nice to get out, but it's nice when you can get out and actually, like, complete what you're wanting to do that day, right? We wanted to get on some perch, we wanted to get on some pike, and we were able to do that, as well as some bonus walleye, sucker. Yeah, we got multi-species.
Yeah, you're a big sucker fisherman.
Big sucker guy. But yeah, it was a multi-species day. It was a ton of fun. A little windy for my liking, but what do? It's Saskatchewan. You just kind of bear with it, hide behind the quad, and suck it up.
Yeah, no, it was a blast. It had been, I know, talking to a lot of people, it's nice to know it's not just myself. There's some pretty good fishermen I've talked to that have said the same thing. This winter's been weird. I don't know what it is, whether people are in a funk too, but like it's just
the
slow
cold
this winter everywhere.
Cold weather, tons of snow. I just, those two things in on their own will put you in a mood. And I'm sure they put the fish in a mood, and things don't go your way, and guys kind of lose a little bit of ambition to get out there as much as they do early ice or late ice, and that it's the midwinter blues, and I definitely felt it. I know a lot of guys felt it this winter. So
but that was nice to kind of, I guess, by the time this episode is out. Missed last Friday just with some things going on, but by the time this episode's out this Friday, season's going to be done here, right?
Yeah, man, it's end of March, April's right around the corner, and that's our kind of ice out month here in Saskatchewan, and
spawning time,
and you kind of just start to put away all the ice stuff and get organized for open water, pull out all the rods, re-spooling, re-rigging, just getting ready, and then basically it's a waiting game until opening day.
Yeah, it's on May 5th. Yeah, so I don't know what it's like in Manitoba and Alberta and the other provinces and stuff as far as seasons go, because I know it seems like in Ontario you can fish for something all year round, right? Yeah. Whereas we're like a hard shutdown. I mean, you can still do your stocked lakes here, but in the off season. But other than that, we're a hard shutdown for a month and 5 days or whatever it is.
Well, even referring back to our interview with Doug Wagner, he guides out at Green Bay area, and he does his business where he does his business because of the long seasons, and he's able to work more throughout the year than it may be, maybe another location, another state, etc. Just those prolonged seasons. So I mean, we have an exciting episode coming up. We wouldn't be here, though, if it wasn't for our sponsors. We have a lot of great partners on board with the Weekend Warriors. Obviously 13 Fishing and Rapella. Don't forget, we have a discount code. Last year in 2021 was only for 15% off 13 Fishing. This year it's extended off all 9 brands on rapella.ca. It's crazy. There's so many products on that website that, you save big bucks. It adds up.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, it's basically saving the tax on everything. You go to buy an auger, you notice the tax on that purchase, right? So definitely nice to have that. And I guess next up, we've got Sask Wildlife Federation. I know at least I'll be fishing one of their tournaments. I'll be at the Buffalo Pound one. I'm not sure if you're going to be there, but of course, like you hear in every episode, they're doing a ton of great stuff for the outdoors and in the province, and we're very happy to have them come on board.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, even this past weekend, you got your Saskatchewan Master Angler Pike.
True. So I'll have three now.
There you go. So if you're in Saskatchewan, if you're coming to Saskatchewan, be sure to download the Saskatchewan Master Angler app, or you can upload your catches online as well. There's been lots of certificates and pins being sent out recently. I've been seeing some stories and whatnot. People are getting rewarded for their big catches. If you don't have a membership, go check it out. Super cheap, and it goes towards a great cause.
Yeah, exactly. And then we got Blackfish gear. Been actually with kind of this transition of weather we've been having here. There's been some rain, there's been some snow, everything like that. We always talk about the pullover. Well, that's been my go-to for about the last week and a half, 2 weeks for sure. Nice and warm, because this weather is changing so much for us. Like out on the lake on Monday, it's like it's raining to start the morning. Then it decides it might get pretty windy, which that the pullover cuts the wind quite nice. Yeah. And then, oh yeah, it's going to get sunny and then kind of absorb some of that heat. And then, yeah, back to rain or snow or whatever you want to have. So definitely some good stuff there. We do have an exclusive podcast code that you can find in the show notes below to save yourself some money.
15% off. And like, that's exclusive. Like there's not a whole lot of discounts out there available anywhere for Blackfish gear. So go check them out. Blackfishgear.com. Save yourself 15% with the code in the show notes below.
There you go. And then who do we got next year? Oh, I guess Lucky Bastard.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Some fantastic, spirits and vodkas and whatnot. Here's a quick word from them.
There are certain moments in life that really stick with you. This is definitely one of them. The thrill of the dill, my friends, is not a myth. Prohibition is over, Saskatchewan. Ask about LB's legendary Birmingham's Dill Pickle Vodka. After all, it's not a party until someone pulls out the pickle. Tours and tastings available. Call or stop by 814 47th Street East. And tonight, why not mix your Caesar with some Lucky Bastard? It's the one with the pickle in it.
Well, you can check out the show notes below. Save yourself 10% off any of the Lucky Bastard website items. They do ship Canada-wide, and we're getting right into that time of year where the days are getting longer, and it's a great time to get those drinks flowing. So be sure to check out the show notes below. Save yourself 10% on any of the items they have on their website. But we've kept you guys long enough, so without further ado, here is the podcast episode with Mike from Fish Addictions TV.
Yeah, we have another exciting episode here on the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. We're fortunate enough to sit down with Mike Olson from Fish Addictions TV. If you've been living under a rock, you might not know who he is or who Fish Addictions TV is. But yeah, I've been watching Fish Addictions for a long time, Mike, and it's finally nice to sit down and get the chance to talk with you.
Thanks for having me. It's been a long time. We were actually just sitting down the other day, Thor and I, our current camera guy, and we were like, how long have we been doing Fish Addictions? Because it doesn't seem that long, but we've been doing it 10 years now.
A decade, wow. Eh? Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. And it's just like sitting down and just thinking about all the places we've been and all the experiences we've gotten and just reminiscing and, you know, taking that time. Things go by so fast and you do so many different things that you don't catch yourself sitting down and actually like thinking about all the cool places you've gone until all of a sudden one day you're sitting with your buddies and, you know, with the way Fish Addictions goes, I'm fishing with my buddies all the time. So that's like the best part about it.
Yeah, no, that's the most fun part when you can have that group of friends that have the same enjoyment, like in the same, they're just as addicted to it as you are, and they want to get going just as much as you. You're not just dragging someone out to have someone on the boat, right? Like you actually got those people that want to do it.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it without the surrounding cast that I have, because it's constant go. In the wintertime, it's 4 days a week or more. And then you're watching edited stuff, and then you're watching it with the guys that were with you, and we're all critiquing it. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun just to do what we've been blessed to be able to do.
Yeah, for sure.
No, for sure. For those of our listeners that maybe, you know, don't know what Fish Addictions TV is, maybe jump in a little bit about, you know, yourself, kind of how you got into the more broadcasting fishing as a job type thing and kind of what Fish Addictions TV really is?
Man, so Fish Addictions actually started as a forum website a little over 10 years ago. So, and we got into it at the exact wrong time to get into forum web fishing, because it was like going out. I got into it and I wanted to create a community that was like, hey guys, it's not this. It's not all have to catch big fish all the time. It's not you have to catch a limit of fish and keep a limit of fish. Let's like show the fun aspect of what we all, I mean, we're all having fun. Everybody out on the ice or in the boat, we're having fun. No matter who you are, what you're doing, we're all out there to have an enjoyable time. So I thought at that time, I didn't really see anybody creating a community like that. So I started this community where it was no BS, we're going after it, having fun. And it just kind of, my buddy Josh Clausen and I started just filming ourselves, like with no intent, really. It was just like, let's just film it and see what the heck goes on here, like how it works out. And then it just, we started editing it. I had a fish house at that time, and we spent more time in the fish house in my driveway than we did on the ice, because we would go film and we come back and he was pretty good on computers. I had a pretty creative eye, and together we would edit these videos, like sit there, like go back, do this, go back, do this, do this, do this, do this. It was like all of a sudden we made our first video. Go back and watch it and you can laugh at it now. We thought it was pretty awesome back then when we first videos, and they're still up there. And like all of a sudden we started making videos and the forum site was, like I said, right from the get-go. I think we ended up having like 10,000 people on the forum, blah blah blah. We got a little bit of a start in a community that way, and we started doing these videos, and it was Josh and I filming each other, and Eskimo came on. We did one video and we were fishing out of a Eskimo 949 hub, and Tony Aloya, who is now one of my best friends, called, and he's like, hey, I saw your guys' video that you did up at Red Lake. We're like, yeah, cool. That's awesome. He's like, I'm from Eskimo. I'm like, oh, hi. You know, like, wasn't the intent by any means. Like, that's a really good report you guys did. It's kind of fun. Different way to do a fishing report. He's like, you ever thought about running our product? I'm like, have been for years. You know, it was a perfect fit for me and Josh and I. So we came on board with Eskimo and started taking it, you know, then, you know, you already have a lot of wind in your sails and you get that first, you know, big sponsor to come on. Sponsor at that time gave us an auger and an ice house to use. And it was, gave you a little bit more wind in your sails. We're like, oh, let's take it up a notch. So we took it up a notch and we did that for 2 years. And then Eskimo comes full circle back and says, hey, we've got an opening to do a TV show and we think you guys could fill that spot on Fox Sports here in the Midwest. And I'm like, what? No. Like, I don't think I'm ready for that. I don't think we're quite there. We're still filming ourselves at that point. I'm like, well, we got this guy, Aaron, who has filmed for the Next Bite TV show. Most people know Next Bite, right? Gary Parsons, yep. Keith Cavias, and those guys. And I think what we'll do is we'll hire him to follow you guys around. And I'm like, okay, maybe this works. Maybe I don't know if I can catch enough fish to make a TV show, I think is what I told Tony. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's like, no, I think you can. I think you can. And so we did a year. I would feel more comfortable if we took a year, stayed with the YouTube thing, and really proved to ourselves that we could do it instead of jump right on. And Fox Sports was really like on board with that. They're like, yeah, let's do proof of concept. Let's make sure you guys can do it. We did it, and Fox brought us on, and they're just like, that is awesome. Let's do it. Let's roll with it. And here we are, you know, we're sitting on five or six different online and TV. We did come off of cable now, and we're just doing online stuff more to free us up and let us do the things that we want to do, not such a boom, boom, boom schedule, because anybody that that knows, putting a show out weekly is probably the hardest thing to do. Well, we still do it, try to do it weekly, but now we're on all the networks instead of just one. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, so and here we are. Like I said, it was just kind of came to fruition the other day, 10 years later, talking to you guys, right? So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the thing, right? You were mentioning before we started recording about kind of being able to look back and see all the things you've done. But like you said, when you're trying to get an episode every week or even one every 2 weeks, you don't have time to look back. You're always looking as to what's going on in the next week, what you got to do, right? You don't have that time to actually sit back and reflect.
Yeah, because it's most fun when, like, when we were doing the weekly boom, boom, boom every week, we'd find a lot of our own bites because we got a lot of, like, guys that are out there fishing and part of the Fish Addictions group. But I got a lot of buddies that are guides and stuff too, so we'd go fish with them as well. But the most fun is when you figure it out from point A all the way through, and that bite works out for you, you know. And mm-hmm. and we try to do that as much as possible.
No, right. Yeah, that's fulfilling, right? That, like, when you can, you know, get on a bite, figure out a pattern, and get an episode out of it, and get it all on film, and then watch it back, like, that's sick.
Yeah, there was one point this year where we're on Fort Peck, and I'm sitting there just jigging. It really slowed down. Camera guy sitting there, he's got it on a tripod right in front of me, and he's like, all right, you know, tell me about what you've been doing. And I'm like, all right. Thinking about it, all of a sudden, whack, I'm like, oh, shit, right, all on camera. It was pretty awesome, 34, 35-inch lake trout. And just, it's cool to catch that stuff in live, because one of the things that we've always prided ourselves on is, you know, like, what you see is what's happening for us. So there isn't a lot of reenactment of any sort. We maybe don't get all the hook set shots that everybody loves to see, but that's because it's like, boom, I'm on, get over here. Like, and plus, yeah. Unlike most shows, we have 3 to 6 people on the ice. So unless the camera mm-hmm. guy's going to set 6 cameras up and all that kind of stuff, we can't keep with it. But we do a lot of cool things, and we just try to do it our way, you know. It's so much fun. It's so fun to see, like how you guys have been watching, and how you go to different, like, sports stores and different lakes, and people. It's fun to have people approach you and tell you they enjoy what you're doing, just as much as we enjoy doing it.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's one part I did want to touch on Fort Peck, but we can get there later. But I kind of, now that you say that about the maybe not having the hook sets and stuff that other places have. And I know a big one here in Canada has been Aaron Wee with Uncut Angling. And I think that's kind of the whole premise behind his name, right? Is kind of stuff like that. No, nothing staged. I think that was, like, part of his intro for a while there, is the things about not being staged and whatnot. How common was that? I get that it's a show and it's a business and you got to keep people entertained, but how much of a thing was that for lots of the earlier fishing shows?
I mean, it was very important to get the whole sequence early on, right? So people were mm-hmm. engaged, and I don't know how much, like, people do that kind of stuff, but the one thing that I wanted to make sure was I'm never going to hold somebody else's fish. Going to fake a fish catch. I'm never going to do that kind of stuff. For one, it's all about keeping the fish healthy. The longer that fish is out of the water and in my hands, the less of a chance that fish has to stay healthy when I release it, right? So that was goal. That was goal number one right from the get-go, is I want to do this, and we want to do it to the best of our ability. Catch a fish, get as much as we can of it. Hopefully we had a GoPro on us, or hopefully the camera guy was on you. And if you catch enough fish, we're going to get enough clips to fill those in anyway. The goal was always to go out and like, okay, if we're going walleye fishing, we need to catch 20 walleyes. Because if we catch 20, we'll get all of them that we need, you know, for this show, mm-hmm. for the different clips that we need. You know, I don't know. I think nowadays it's there isn't a lot of that going on. I think people are past it. People can see through it. You just don't get as good of a show if you're trying to do that kind of stuff. And I know pretty much all the guys in the industry, and they're all stand-up guys. We all try to help each other. It's different than it was 10 years ago. You know, 10 years ago, there was guys that would straight out look at you and be like, I don't like what you're doing. Now it's just like, I like what you're doing. You're doing your own thing, you know? And I think that's the most mm-hmm. important thing, is everybody worry about what they're doing, do your own thing, and things will happen for you. And the one thing that it is, it's way harder than it looks. I promise you that.
Oh, yeah. And I know we've tried to get out a couple times. Like, we live about an hour from each other, me and Brandon. And just with, I mean, busy lives, we got our Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, right? And so it's like, oh, maybe we can get out this Saturday and actually go and catch some fish, right? And maybe get some little, I don't know, some stuff for Instagram or some stuff for TikTok, just little reels and stuff like that. And then when we get out there, it's like, man, this is like, even just for that little stuff, it's like, I don't know how people do this either by themselves, how they're filming themselves, or even with the cameraman and stuff like that. Like the one day we had James out, who does photography, who was also one of the guests on our show, and having him out, he's got all the professional stuff and things like that. And it's like, well, this is good and all, but you can only get so many pictures of us doing like doing just random stuff. Like, we actually got to get on some fish. And really, that's, I guess, the main part and the hardest part, right?
Well, hey, first and foremost, we're fishermen, you know. Yeah. Like, you put a line down, you kind of forget to do all the other stuff, you know, and that's why, like, having, for what we do, a camera dedicated to that is at the utmost important, because he can catch things that we're not even thinking about, because let's face it, that Vexlar, Markham, Garmin, whatever you're using turns on, it's boom, hyper-focused on what's going on there. Like in my head, I'm like, what's the next move? Before we even think about making a move, what's the next move now? You know, like, how are we going to get fish? How are we going to get this show done? Like, I'm not worried about the shots and stuff like that. And for guys that don't have camera guys, like Aaron and those guys, like, kudos to those guys. You know, they're like Jay Siemens. Obviously, he's a whiz with cameras and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it because I would be so hyper-focused. I'm so hyper-focused on one thing that I can't do the rest of it. I could do it, but it wouldn't be nearly as good as what we're getting.
Right. Yeah. No, that's totally fair.
I think, like, when you got a camera on you, there's always an added pressure, right? I mean, has there ever been a situation where you're recording an episode and you just can't get that bite and you know you have to have an episode out? Like, is there one moment where you remember, like, man, this is just too much, like, I need to get on this bite?
So for personal, yes. Lake Winnipeg is my nemesis. I have caught more big walleyes on Lake Winnipeg than I can count, but when that camera's there, I have yet to catch a master. Like, I get up there and I probably caught 30, 40 masters on Lake Winnipeg, but as soon as the camera gets there, I can't catch one. That's part of the great thing about traveling with all your buddies, right? Because someone's going to catch one. If you got four guys out there, someone's going to get the master, right? Yeah. I have yet to catch one on camera. Oh, so that's not true. So the first time we went up there, we filmed for 3 days on Lake Winnipeg. I did not catch a master. I stayed until I caught one. And then the guys at Eskimo were up there, and their camera guy just happened to be there because they were shooting some product stuff. And I yelled at him, like, Jordan, put the camera over here. And he just puts it on me, and I caught it, and I was like, yes! But Lake Winnipeg has been my nemesis as far as filming, but we've always gotten great shows up there because it's an awesome fishery, but it's the place that has kicked my butt on camera many times. And obviously, everybody knows about the camera curse, that kind of stuff, but it's one of those things, you know. I think I've been doing it so long, I forget it's there. In fact, like, the camera guys always be like, can you just talk to me? And I'm like, sorry, man, I'm just doing my thing. You got to turn it on, you know? So,
yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, like, same thing. Like you said, it just seems like whenever there's a camera there, you could catch, you know, that fish of a lifetime over and over and over again. But as soon as you're recording, because, you know, you got to do an episode, it just doesn't come. But yeah, I was just curious if there was that one lake or that one memory where there's just a little extra pressure.
We've lost a few fish that I know were giants, and maybe too many fish that were giants on camera, and it seems like I don't lose as many fish when the camera's not on. But I know there was one episode on Lake of the Woods where we were up there, and I think we lost 15 fish in a row on camera. It was like, oh boy. Jeez. Yeah, nuts. Just couldn't get them to stay hooked up. But that's fishing. That's the thing, is like, we make it look fun and we make it look easy, but that's actually kind of what I like about what we do, is like, we show a lot of the hard stuff, a lot of the stuff that's like, what the heck is happening here? Like, we get stuck in slush, all the things that happen, like all the things that make memories, to be honest, you know?
Yeah. And I think I like that. I like to see that more raw stuff a lot more as well. And you, like you said, you do see it a lot more. There's a lot more stand-up guys. It's not just all of a sudden they're in the boat and they're slaying all these smallmouth or all these walleye, right? Like, it's, you get to see more of the process, and it kind of, you do get sucked into that vortex of whether it's on Instagram, oh, look at, it's just big fish, or the videos used to always just be like that, right? But now it kind of shows, hey, these guys that are out here doing this, they're also dealing with the same stuff.
Oh yeah, we definitely don't get dropped in by helicopter on the X of every lake and that kind of stuff. We work really, really hard. It was kind of funny. A couple of years ago, we had a giveaway with 13 Fishing and Eskimo. It was a Dream Trip giveaway. They got to come out and fish with us up at Devil's Lake. And some guy from New York won it. A super stand-up guy. And he comes out there, and I think in his head, he was like, we're just going to go kill him, right? And we pull up, we got the snowmobiles, we got everything, and he's kind of like, so it's going to be like 15 below tomorrow. Are we going out in snowmobiles? I'm like, yeah, that's how we do it, man. And so he gets on, and he's gung-ho, he's super motivated. And at the end of the first day, he's like, wow. He's like, we moved a lot. We drilled a ton of holes. He's like, this was awesome. You know, the whole experience and everything. I was like, dude, this is how it is when you're filming. Like, we're micromanaging every move. We're three guys putting our heads together, making the same moves anybody would make out on a lake, trying to make those same decisions. You know, we treat every filming session as like we're fishing a tournament. Like, every fish matters. Everything you say matters. Everything that happens around you matters, you know. So it's a really fun experience.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I think you mentioned, sorry, Brian, I think you mentioned a good thing there, is it's three guys putting your head together. Like, when I first started, like, I had friends that liked to fish, but I was taking myself to the next level of addiction with it. And it was kind of one mind going at it. And you can only do so much yourself. And then I kind of, through Instagram and stuff, started making new buddies. And through school, I found buddies that like to fish. And then now all of a sudden we've got four guys putting our heads together. And if my fishing ability or knowledge was on a graph, it just was like shot straight up after that, right? Like you get in with the right people, you start talking and researching. And I think that's a huge thing for people that are starting out, is kind of find that group, right? Because you can learn so much.
Yeah, I say this all the time to everybody that always asks me, like, what's the one thing that you would tell anybody, novice or a pro angler? And it's listen to everybody, no matter their skill set, no matter anything, because what has made, I like to call myself, I won't call myself a great fisherman, but I'm a well-rounded fisherman. We fish for all species. We fish with a lot of different areas. Is always have your ears open, because teach you something. That you'll find yourself in a situation, all of a sudden it'll come back and be like, let's just try this. I know it sounds crazy, but I think crazy is going to work, you know, and you go and try crazy and it works. And those are the best bites. You can always learn something from anyone. That's like the best piece of advice I got. And I think that's the best piece of advice I can give to anybody.
Oh, I love that. For sure. And I think honestly, right, with us, with this podcast, that was kind of the fuel behind this, right? Is we wanted to, because we're just weekend warriors, we wanted to sit down and, you know, get the chance to talk to guys like yourself, or, you know, Jay Siemens, Gord Pizer, John Hoyer, talk to these guys that, you know, have all this information and are willing to share it and help grow the sport and, you know, promote ethical angling and whatnot, and learn ourselves, but, you know, have the ability to disperse and share with, you know, anglers alike, that, you know, whether it be a new angler, whether it be a tournament angler that just happens to tune into this episode and hear something that you have to say about, you know, down there in the Midwest, and they're going on a trip. And, oh, I remember, you know, Mike said on that episode of the Weekend Warriors, you know, so-and-so do this, do that, and they get on the best perch bite of their life, right? So it's just a matter of, you know, everybody absorbing and kind of leaving the ego at the door and taking in information from all directions.
Your ego, that's like the one thing in fishing that will kill you is ego. I have so many people tell me, like, you're just a normal guy.
Yeah.
I put a rod in the water the same way you do. I put a boat in the water the same way you do. I like to talk fishing the same way you do. You know, I mean, it's fun to do what we do, but it's also fun to be able to have like these conversations, and we're just normal guys that like this stuff. Like, I still don't know exactly how this all happened to like where we're at now and what we're doing. And I've got so many things going on that it's like, it's just awesome. I just love it.
Yeah, I think I love that you said that, the thing, the ego thing. Like, that's what I've always said to Brandon with this. Like, if you don't try and change who you are just because the record button's hit and stuff like that, or because you're going to be on video and things like that, like, you don't have to worry about anything, right? You just be a good person, and you're not going to have to worry about that, or don't be lying about stuff, because then you got to worry about what you're lying about, right? Like, what you see is what you get, and that's kind of the way it is, right? And there's nothing to be egotistical about, because everyone's out there trying to do the same thing, just have a good time and catch some fish.
And if you are that way, it comes through clear as day on camera. Like, it's you can pick it out right away that this guy's trying to be more than he really is, blah, blah, blah. I don't care if you think I know how to fish or not. I'm going to have fun on the next episode of Fish Addictions TV. And if you like it, great. If you don't, fine. That's fine. Yeah. We're going to do another one the next week, whether you like it or not. So
there you go. No, I really appreciate that topic. Yeah. Okay. So obviously you've been doing this for a decade, you know, you've been doing it for, you know, a little bit, you know, from kicking off and it starting as a forums kind of fading out, transitioning to, you know, YouTube, broadcast, you know, television, cable, back to more online stuff. What is kind of the biggest adjustment that you had to go through in the last decade as far as a fishing show goes?
Probably, you know, like in the beginning, it was just understanding and being disciplined, because we had to have a new show out. And once we hit broadcast, like when we were just filming ourselves and having fun, it was whatever. If we put 5 videos out or 30 videos out, it didn't matter. But once we hit broadcast, it was like, hey, just so you know, you have to have 17 videos out in the next 17 weeks. And it's like,
oh.
And not only did we have to, we had to commit to them being current, right? So no video we ever put out, except for the last 3 videos of every year, we would film the fall before. So 14 of those videos were current on the ice videos within 7 days. They were filmed and edited and on TV within 7 days.
Wow.
Which, when you leave the house, you don't come home without one. And then I very quickly realized that at first it was like, I got to have fish. And I really quickly realized that, no, we got to show people what's really happening. We're struggling. We're not having a good bite. It's been storming for 3 days and we're trying to fish through it. And then that's where our audience really started growing, because nobody else was doing that. Nobody else was saying, man, we are struggling. Like, we're for real just trying to catch bluegills, and everybody thinks it's the easiest thing in the world, but we're on like this world-renowned bluegill lake, and it's not happening. We just fished for 3 days and caught 10 fish. This is our show. Guess what? We got to put it out whether we like it or not. But it really forced us in a direction to show those hard times. And then those hard times ended up being how people really related to what we were doing. And then as we figured that out as a group with Fish Addictions, we really figured out, a lot of people were like, wait, that's the same few guys. You know, Mike's traveling around with 8 different guys and 3 of those guys on every episode. Like, wait, this really is a group of friends traveling around the Midwest and Canada fishing all these really cool places. Like, wait, you know, and then we grew from like 10,000 to 40,000 to getting a few million views a year. And it was like, cool, you know, like people started thinking it was cool for what we were doing, and we were just doing us, you know, like, and we were learning it as we went. Because I would be the first to admit, when you get that call and you're like, hey, we're going to put you on network television, it's like, oh man, I got to put the best of the best out there, right? Like, I got to have good bites, I got to have this. Well, the reality of the thing was, is it just wasn't going to happen. We aren't going to get the best and craziest bites all the time. And the struggles are what actually, in the end, us showing that grew what we were doing. So it was kind of a big adjustment there.
No, for sure. Well, and just like the authenticity, like just being authentic with people, right? That's what people resonate with. And, you know, you could tune into a fishing show and it's, you know, the perfect hook set, you know, the perfect this, the perfect that, but that doesn't correlate with majority of anglers' lives, right? It's the little things, the struggles, and the little things that people, you know, can relate to.
Yeah, between that, and then not only that, but people that I think there's like 80%, 90% of the fishermen out there that are watching the stuff that we do, they like thoroughly enjoy it. And the other 20% are there to critique everything you ever did. And yeah. So they're like, you did this wrong. You held that fish wrong. You did this wrong. It's like, dude, we are fishing just like you. And I'm sorry you didn't like that. And in the nicest way possible, get lost. You know what I mean? Like, we're just having fun, right? So, yeah. And what do they call it? The couch fisherman. That's probably that was probably the hardest adjustment. You know, like, I listen to a lot of guys that have had careers in this, and the number one thing they told me was, don't read any of the comments on your videos ever. It doesn't matter what they say. Let somebody else read them and delete them, do it, or keep them on, or do whatever you decide. Don't read them because they mean nothing. And I'm like, okay, good. You know that, and that's hard. That's hard to have somebody critique you and tell you that you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. And even though you have 80,000 views on a video, then one person comes on and says something. It's like, what? Like,
yeah.
You just hyper focus on that one comment. So if you're out there trying to do YouTube videos or make fun videos or whatever you're doing, the podcast or whatever, there's another good piece of advice. Just don't read the comments unless you want to answer to them. If you see one bad one, just delete it and forget about it, because it really, in the end, I shouldn't say it means nothing, but remember there's 80,000 other people that loved what you did. So
Yeah, exactly. And maybe they might even just be having a bad day and decide, I don't watch a fishing video, and then they decide just to comment that, right? Like, it might not even reflect what they actually think, but you never know, right?
Yeah, early on when I used to comment back, I used to private message people back, and usually by the end of the conversation, they're like, wow, I didn't even think you'd write back to us or whatever, because I would, if it got to a point, I would always comment back, but privately, I won't bust people's balls, you know, out publicly, but... You know, sometimes you just got to say something.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
Yeah. Most of the time it ends up that I've shared the ice with people. I remember when we first started, they're like, oh, Fish Addiction is just a commercial. Well, yeah, we're trying to support our sponsors. Yeah. We maybe did it in a way where it got a little gaudy, but we didn't know any different at the time. And give us a break. It's year one. We're trying to figure out a good combination of how to support the sponsors, but have a good time. And, you know, it always usually ends up pretty decent, but
yeah. Well, even just like watching Aaron's earliest videos, like it was kind of the same as you'd see on cable, right? Like it'd be your excerpt of you fishing, and then it's like Suzuki Motors, this boat, this, right? Like it kind of would go, had its own commercials built into it of those fishing brands, and yeah, that happens, right? But I mean, what do people expect? How else is the show gonna go on, right? And this, like, because the sponsors aren't on just to not get any value at all either, so it's like you said, you're in your first year, it's hard to find that balance, just like we're trying to figure out with our show too.
Well, what people need to understand is we love doing this, and we're doing it because we love it, and the last thing we really want to do is throw sponsor plugs into things. But the reality of the situation is we're able to do what we're doing because of the sponsors and their support with what we're doing, and hopefully, and I think most people are like this, that they believe in the brands that are sponsoring them. You know, I can't think of one brand that sponsors Fish Addictions that I haven't used before they came on board. I can think of many times where brands have come to me and said, hey, we'd really like you to use this on a show. And I'll be like, hold off. Let me buy a set of this. Let me use it the rest of this year. And if I really like it, then let's talk next year. You know, I've never brought on a brand just because, like, oh, they want to be part of it. It's like, no, that's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is be legit, for one, and two, only push things that I love. And I can say that every brand that we are a part of is I use religiously. So.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to mention, but before you said it there, like, if I'm not going to use it myself, I'm not going to come on here and say, yeah, this is good stuff, you should go buy it, right? Like, to me, that's not fair at all to the people that are taking the time to support you also. Like, I mean, there's a lot of companies that make really good stuff, but I'm not just going to blindly be like, yeah, we'll take that and we'll make sure to plug you. Like, it's gotta be stuff that I'm going to use, that Brandon's going to use, right? Like, there's no point in pushing it if you have no clue or if it is crap, right?
Well, that's all we have as fishermen, right? I mean, we're sitting out here fishing, and if people don't look at us and say, I believe what that guy's saying, if they look at us and say, well, he's just saying that because he's getting paid, which is the biggest BS line in the fishing industry for legitimate guys, you know? Yeah. I mean, I had an experience just like a couple weeks ago, like the new LVS 34 transducer comes. I'm like the only guy in the ice belt that has it. So I'm out there doing some videos with it and really just filming my perspective on it. I'm not trying to sell it. Hey, this is what I see between this and this. And guys, well, nice commercial. And I'm like, guy, I'm not trying to sell this to you. You already own an LVS. You already own an LVS 32. Why do I need you to buy an LVS 34? Like, you're already running Garmin. I'm not trying to persuade you to run Garmin. I'm just telling you what I see the differences between the two. And he writes me back. He's like, never thought of it like that. Come on, guy. I'm just trying to show you guys what I've gotten to experience. So when you get it, you maybe have a clue of what you're jumping into, you know?
Yeah. And I find that quite funny because I have a Pike video from a couple years ago that has done quite well on Facebook and kind of took off. But it's me in probably about 50, 60K winds running to the jaw jacker that was for Burbot that has this big Pike on it. And I'm using Cabela's hole cover, like the foam. And like I probably had about 10 comments. People like, oh, this is a nice ad for Cabela's. I'm like, I'm just using this. Like, what, you can actually think that Cabela's would make this bad of an ad? Like, I don't know where you're getting this from. But yeah, no, I know what you mean with some of that stuff.
It's funny.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Garmin. Obviously, you know, you partnered up with Garmin. Fish Addictions partnered up with Garmin a few years ago.
5 years, yeah.
5 years now. Okay. So obviously, you've got firsthand knowledge. You know, Logan and I, we don't have LiveScope or anything yet. We actually just bought Garmin units, and you know, we're hoping to be able to, you know, pinch pennies and afford a LiveScope, whether that be this open water season or next ice season.
I did catch my first LiveScope fish on Monday. A nice six-inch perch.
Ooh.
I saw it all happen.
Yeah, all 6 inches of it. So, obviously, with the new, LiveScope transducer that just came out, I actually watched that video. I think I was one of the first people to comment it on, actually, because I was like, man, this just came out. I was like, this came out really quick, this video of this comparison and yada, yada, yada. But from a person that's used both, a lot of people haven't even used the old one. What would you recommend for, say, Logan and I that are, you know, thinking about jumping into the LiveScope? Is it worth the extra money? Is it worth, you know, grabbing an old one on sale?
So the first thing I would ask is, what are you going to primarily use it for? And if you're going to use it, to search for crappie, basin crappie, or walleye fishing tight to the bottom, that LVS 34 is worth its weight in gold, because now playing with it even more than when those videos came out, I've been able to see schools of crappies at 150 feet away, which on the LVS, which has LVS 32, you know, we're looking at 80 max, you'll see a school of crappies. And if you're really good with it, 90, you'll be able to see a faint hint of it, but it kind of fades out after 80. Lake trout fishing in deeper water, I did get a chance to go use it. I didn't catch any fish when we were in deep water, but I know with the LVS 32, when you would get past that 60 feet, it was really hard to see your baits. And at 100 feet, I could still see my 3.5 inch jig and twister tail down there pretty easily, which is huge, you know. And then as far as walleye fishermen, if you saw the second video we did like a jig to the bottom test, you know, where you hold it and when you lose it on the LVS 32, you could still see it clear as day on the LVS 34. So you're getting a view right to the bottom. So overall, for the $400 difference, if you're buying the GLS 10 and the LVS 34, versus the GLS 10 and 32. I'd say the 34 is worth its weight in gold for guys that are going to use it very seriously. For guys that are out there pulling it out of the pickup, going into the wheelhouse, using it to move and run and gun and drill a bunch of holes, that LVS 32 is a great tool. It's always been a great tool, and it's everything you would need in that scenario. But if you're going to be moving and trying to stay on a school of perch or stay on a school of crappies or find those rocks and do a lot of moving and stuff, why wouldn't you want the better capabilities? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No,
so, and that being said, the LVS 32, now with the 34 out, I mean, I'm seeing them sell dirt cheap. I'm like, whoa, I can't believe guys are selling them as cheap as they are. If I was going to go brand new, I would do the 34 or the 32. I think the 34 is worth every penny, and I've gotten to use it a lot now over the last few weeks. And we were pike fishing, tip-up fishing the other day, and I had just a – just a large smelt 115 feet away. And I was just like, I wonder if I could see it. Oh, yep, there it is. You know, like, jeez. I just put it right on 115 feet away. And I'm like, just watching that smelt clear as day. And then also my buddy's like, oh, that flag's going to go. And I was like, what? I forgot that we had it on there. He's like, right there. Big pike comes up and smashes it. You could see it all at 115 feet. That's pretty impressive. I know there's guys that say they can see that with their LVS 32 that far away.
Yeah,
I'd really like to see their screens and how they set it up, because there aren't many people that have used LiveScope as much as I have via open water and ice combined. Obviously, the bass guys and stuff use it a ton in the boat. But I really feel like you learn how to dial these units in on ice, because we're stationary. We can get things dialed in like to a T to what we need. And for what I do, my boat probably won't see an LVS 32 ever again.
Fair enough. Yeah, and like for us up here in Saskatchewan, you know, majority, 75% of it is what I do is walleye. So for me, that having that separation is, you know, if it's, you know, for $400.
Well, I mean, think about it. This up on a rock pile, right? And you're in clear water. I mean, I fish Canada a lot. Most lakes are super clear. And super clear water, if you're fishing under even 30 feet, the fish get spooked if the closer you get to them, right? Now imagine with the 34, you're scanning 100 feet away, and it's like, oh, there's a rock pile at 60. Oh, 20 feet past the rock point, there's a school of walleyes. I don't have to get 60 feet from them. I'm 100 feet from them. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, there we go. So tournament fishing and that kind of stuff, I noticed on Mille Lacs and that kind of stuff that it was very crucial to really pinpoint walleyes like past the 50, 60 feet while we were fishing this last year in one of the tournaments. And that LVS 34, I really feel like we did well in that, really well in that tournament, but I feel like we would have done even better being able to pinpoint those big fish from further away. It's the LVS 30 is such a crazy tool, and to make it better, just, it's hard. It's hard to beat the 32, but the 34 does it.
Huh. There you go. Boom. Brandon, you have to get the 34.
Well, you'll have to get the 34. I'll get the 32. I'm on a budget. I'm on a budget. Well, with the transition between hard water and open water, it's a great time to start thinking about boating, what you're going to be doing for those fishing trips. If you're looking to rent a boat, definitely check out Sask Best Boat Rentals. They're the sister company to JP Rental Adventures, which is a proud partner of the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. Here's a quick word from them, and then we jump back right into the interview with Mike.
Get your adventure on with JP Adventure Rentals in Saskatchewan. Whether it's remote ice fishing, hunting, trail riding, or just taking family and friends out for a day of fun, JP Adventure Rentals has you covered with brand new ATVs, snowmobiles, aluminum trailers, plus accessories. Visit jpadventurerentals.ca to make your reservation. Check out our sister company, Saskatchewan's Best Boat Rentals, for all of your boat rental needs. Pre-book now. Get out there with JP Adventure Rentals. We rent fun.
Okay, so speaking of tournaments, you know, we've had a lot of other professional walleye anglers on the podcast. You know, John Hoyer, Keith Cavias, we had the Keevon. Yeah. And so you yourself, you fished the, you know, multiple tournament trails, and you've also fished the NWT. What's going on with there? Like, obviously we know that there's an NWT event kind of kicking off this week, and
right now.
You're obviously sitting with us. So, yeah. What's going on there?
Man, I made a big jump, and I got a son, Jacob, who's 12, that absolutely loves the sport of fishing. So I kind of made a decision that I'm going to bring him to, instead of fishing the 5-end National Walleye Tour events, I've been fishing it for 4 years. Instead of doing that, I'm going to take him to 5 awesome destinations. And we're actually going to film the whole thing from start to finish. And not, you know, people that are watching Fish Addictions are used to seeing it from my perspective. We're going to film this from his perspective as a young angler, and he's a stud angler. Like, he picks it up fast and he does a lot of things. And it's going to be from his perspective, like, what he feels about, like, where we're at. Like, obviously I'll be involved in it, but, like, we're going to go, I don't even know what destination, hopefully Lake Erie, Fort Peck, Lake of the Woods, Devil's Lake, like, world-renowned fisheries that any kid would love to go to and have a good time. And it's going to be really cool because, like, everybody knows how I feel about places, and everybody knows that we can catch fish and talk on camera and that kind of stuff, but nobody's really ever gotten the perspective of getting to experience some of these cool things, right? And what this really is, what it really is for me, is he's already super passionate about fishing, and he loves casting, loves doing that stuff. And he's got his own little boat that he drives around, a little 14-foot with a 9-9 on it that he drives around in the lakes that we're at. But I want to see, like, this is kind of my test. Is he going to be my next fishing partner for tournaments, right? You know, I got a lot of buddies, but I think I couldn't imagine anything better than to win a tournament with my son in the boat, with him and I fishing together. And I love fishing the National Walleye Tour. Everything about it's great. But I think the guy's got to understand that for the sport to continue, it's not all about me and tournament fishing. I want to get him in the boat and just fuel that fire, man. And when I will never forget the day that I told him, I was like, this is what he's like, Dad, NW, it was like a month ago. He's like, you haven't even got your boat home. The first NWT tournament's this. You know, he keeps track of the schedules, and on a bad day of fishing, he'd be the first one to text me and be like, you did all right, Dad. It's better than last, you know, and what have you. And or like in the championship when I was, when I weighed in, I was leading and I ended up second. He's like, I'm so proud of you. And like, he's 11 years old at that point. And you're like, oh man, like, that's so crazy. You know, and he's the first one to text me out of all my buddies or anything. It was like, I get off stage, just like ding, ding. And he's like, that was awesome. You know? And so I want him to experience that, but I really want him to, I don't want to throw him straight into that. And I want him to experience just really cool fisheries, have a lot of fun, just him and I in the boat, and travel around and just captured from his perspective. You know, we always try to do something that I've never seen before, and it just kind of was, I had made the decision to do this first, to like, I'm not going to tournament fish, I'm going to bring him around, and I'm just going to try to instill the love of fishing that my grandfather did for me at that age. Like, it was 12 was like, all right, you're 12, let's go. We're going to go to Canada. We're going to go to Lake of the Woods. We're going to go down to the Missouri River. We're going to do this. And, like, I didn't know how special that was until I grew up and realized, wow, that was when I got hooked. So
when you got addicted.
Addicted, right. You know, and then now I get to do that for him, and he's excited. I'm excited. I'm super pumped for this summer. I know it's going to be the right decision. And wouldn't it be cool to just share that experience from his eyes?
No, 100%.
Sure.
That's going to be so unique.
I think it's going to be really, it's going to be fun. And we actually, I know you guys had him on, so I've gotten to work with so many cool camera guys, and I called Sam Moore and I said, Sam, I'm doing this, and he's like, I'm on, I'm in. So like, Sam and his crew are going to be traveling around with us. Sam creates an energy. There isn't a single person out there that can get a young kid to talk like Sam can.
Yeah.
So Sam's
so gonna be drones going everywhere too.
Basically, oh, yes. basically what you're saying is this is gonna be a fishing trip that a grown man, never mind a kid, is never gonna forget. It's right. gonna be from the perspective of a young angler. You're gonna get Sam Moore, which is gonna be able to portray a story better than anybody else can in the outdoor industry. And he's probably going to be doing some sick B-roll FPV drone shots. And
it wouldn't be Sam Moore Productions without that.
It's going to, I'm looking forward to watching this.
Yeah, we got to, you know, Sam filmed for us for 3 years. You know, we filmed with Sam, and then he kind of went off and started his, you know, as when he first left 13 Fishing, like I made a phone call. I'm like, dude, like, love to have you help out. And he's like, yeah, jumped on. And so we've spent hundreds and hundreds of hours in pickup, locked up, driving to places, whether it be 13, 14 hours out to Saginaw Bay or 15 hours up to Wekusko Falls. Like, we've been all over the place. So it was a no-brainer to contact him and be like, hey, dude, let's get this project done. And I couldn't think of anybody better.
Yeah. So was that with you that he told the story about getting, about his sled breaking down or something? I think it was on Lake Winnipeg, was it, Brandon?
Probably Wekusko Falls or Reed Lake. Wekusko.
Yeah, I think he decided to get some shots of you guys driving away on the sleds or something, and then his wouldn't start.
Yeah, all of a sudden we're like, where's Sam? Because it was always something like, it was the end of the day, we picked up, we're leaving, and it's like, we just go, and Sam was always behind us because he'd be flying his drone like always, and he can't do it as he's driving a snowmobile. So he'd get the shot going by and have his drone ready, and we're like waiting at the trailer. And Brian from Wekusko Falls is like, I'm kind of worried about him. Do you think he went? No, it was Lake Winnipeg. We were out in the middle. That is exactly where it was. And like, we're sitting at the shore, putting blinkers on the top of our pickups, shining light. Dude, I can't find you. And I'm like, I see your snowmobile out there going back and forth. Like, you could look for the blinking lights. He's like, I can't see you. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, no, Sam is always a riot to have with. And there's been more than one time where he's got lost.
I was going to say, it sounds like there might be more.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah,
but there isn't a guy that I've ever worked with that is more enthusiastic about his job than Sam. You know, like, if there's nothing happening and like we're not catching fish, like he's like the cheerleader on the side, like, let's go guys, come on, you know, do whatever we got to do, jump on, let's move, let's do this. You know, and camera's always out. He's, you know, some of the best stuff we've ever captured has been with him. And I've worked with a lot of great camera guys, don't get me wrong. But, you know, he's a one-on-one for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I guess kind of transitioning a bit, you mentioned Fort Peck a couple times, and I said I wanted to come back to that. It's a place that's kind of come onto my radar a little bit and my buddy's radar in the last year or so. He was looking at lake trout spots. And he's like, man, the closest lake trout spot to us is actually in the States. And I'm like, how does that make any sense? Like, kind of what's going on there? But I guess from someone who's been there, you have firsthand knowledge. Like, could you just explain, like, what's the deal with Fort Peck? I hear all these stories for different reasons about it, but what's the deal with it?
Fort Peck is a beast. everything that we do a ton of research. And Fort Peck's always got a ton of breakers that are moving constantly in and out. So if you're going out there, be ready to have to cross breakers, however you did it. If you guys watched our episode, we actually built a bridge that we pulled along. It was a 14-foot bridge. So we could knock the breaker down, cross it safely. Some of them were open 5-6 feet, and get to where we were able to get. Now, my one piece of advice for anybody going to Fort Peck is fish the spots that are going to be high pressure. You'll catch fish, but not like you could or have the opportunity to catch fish.
Okay.
Did we lose him?
No, Logan's still there.
We lost him. I'm just listening so intently. I was thinking, I showed Dad, actually. I watched that episode, and I was showing Dad what you guys were doing, like the one quad or whatever, pulling that bridge and then sliding across, and I was like, man, we get like one or two pressure ridges out at Buffalo here, and it's like, stay clear. don't go near there and whatnot, for a good reason.
You don't go to a place like that and have anything hold you back. That was kind of the thing. Like, we didn't know how that bridge was going to work or not, but we knew we were going to have to get places other people couldn't get to be really successful. Or I shouldn't say we knew that. In our head, that was our strategy, was to get to places nobody else could get to, or if people could get to it, not many were going to take the chance. And we wanted to do it safely, obviously, because I don't want the headline to be Fish Addiction Screw is out filming on Fort Peck and four wheelers are at the bottom of the lake. You know, I don't want that to be the. And so that's how we came up with it safely. It worked out flawlessly. We found a lot of structure with zero holes on it. And we were like, all right, let's beat this up. And in true Fish Addictions form, I know I had a buddy go out the next week, and he pulls up on the spot that we did really well because I had given him the coordinates. And he was like, man, it looks like a bomb went off here. I'm like, dude, like, we had four augers running constantly, you know. And but I think we probably iced 150 lake trout in three days.
And they're all good average size too. Like,
beautiful average size. I mean, 30 inch average, if not bigger, you know, and some 34s and low and 35 and a lot of 33s. We didn't really weigh many fish. Taylor caught a fish that you could just tell was older than the hills, just giant, and for the size that it was. And Fort Peck, I think it was one of the, when people ask me about it, I would say out of all 10 years of filming, Fort Peck was the best trip I've ever been on as far as filming, camaraderie. We camped right there at Fort Peck Marina. We set up the enclosed trailer as like a cookout house, and we cooked every night, BS, stayed up. It was nice weather. The fish were cooperating. Everybody was laughing. Everybody was having a good time. But it was like that unknown from the moment we left the house till the moment we got back on the road to come back home. It was just an adventure all the way through, which, you know, now doing so many things, I don't get that a whole lot anymore. Like, I kind of know what I'm going to be up against a lot of times. And in this particular trip, it was like the unknown all the way through, which is like super exciting.
Right. And I guess
it all worked out.
Yeah, no, for sure it did. Like, that was an episode full of fish. Like, I think I've watched it probably three times now. But is that lake, like, I've talked to some people from Saskatchewan here that have gone there, but is it kind of like a, you have to time it right as far as ice conditions and stuff like that? Like, is it like a pretty small window?
Yeah, so we were planning on going out last ice season, and we had the trip planned, we had everything going, and Scott Collingsworth from Fort Peck Marina calls. He's like, dude, he's like, I know you want to get out here, and we've been talking all year. He's like, don't come. And this is the day before we're supposed to go. He's like, it's changed so fast. And I'm like, dude, there's only been ice out there for 3 weeks. You know, so like last year they only had like a three, four week ice season. You know, this year, so the plan right from the get-go was, as soon as there's good ice, we're leaving, gone. Yeah. Will Pappenfuss, which is a good buddy of ours, they went out the week prior, and he said ice was good, a few sketchy spots or whatever, but, you know, ice was good. So we were like, all right, let's go. I called everybody. I'm like, I'm going to Fort Peck. This is when I'm leaving. If you guys want to come, let's do this. And everybody, Anthony and Taylor and Jim and Chris and a couple other my buddies, like, when are you leaving? Yep. We all met out there, and you got to be on it. You got to be ready for it for sure, because I think it can be a short window. This year it was a little longer than I think it has been in the past, and there wasn't a lot of snow out there. So that helped for getting around and stuff. But yeah, it's definitely a timing thing. But definitely the guys that do better out there are the guys that get away from the community holes and the high pressure areas.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I've seen, I think it's Hales Baldwin, a guy down in the States. I follow him on Instagram, and he was out there. They are catching some big Lakers as well. And
just he was out there with like Will and those guys.
Yeah, and you'd see like one group of guys out there slaying, and then like the next weekend, like another group of guys. I'm like, it must just be like one person sees that. It's like, okay, time to go now. Like, this is when you can make it happen.
Yeah, I'm planning hopefully to get out there again in the next week or two to get into that big walleye action as they're up shallow and that kind of stuff. Scott, who's got the marina out there, said come in and, you know, shallow casting and when you talk about casting for walleyes, that's got me all excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I know McKeever's had a lot of posts from there. I know he likes to fish that quite often. And I think, like, just doing some research on it, like the number of species that are in there. And I mean, it's a huge it's a reservoir, right?
Oh, it's surreal when we were driving across. We went like 9 miles every day from where we were staying. And you're looking at the graph following, and you're like, oh, I'm in 280 feet of water right now. All of a sudden you feel like you're on a roller coaster because you're just like, imagine yourself falling into 280 feet, which what does it really matter if it's 40 feet or 280 feet, right? Yeah. But the just that looking down at the graph and realizing you're in over 200 feet of water, it's like, ugh. But
yeah. Yeah. That's almost surreal, yeah.
Yeah,
I get that same feeling in a boat too. So, yeah, for sure.
So you mentioned like Fort Peck, obviously, is one of your favorite, you know, episodes that you've recorded. We see a lot of perch photos on Instagram, social media. What is your favorite species to chase? Is it lake trout? Is it perch? Is it pike? What's your favorite? If you could do a series just on one species, what would it be?
I mean, the cliche walleye, but lake trout has definitely come on strong for me. I mean, definitely through the ice. I've caught them both in the boat and in the ice, but it's just something about outsmarting a big walleye, you know? And if I would rather go out and catch two big walleyes in a day than 30 19 inchers, you know? So like, and I'm kind of in that mindset where I just want to go out and it's like me against it, you know? And
yeah,
that's kind of the way it's been over the last few years. Is just, I'm blessed to not live far from Lake of the Devil's Lake, great fisheries for big walleyes, both of them. And I spend a lot of time not trying to catch a limit of fish, trying to catch the fish, you know, that's kind of been my thing.
Yeah. So are you from North Dakota or Minnesota?
So I live like I can throw a rock into Minnesota, but I live in North Dakota.
Okay. Okay. That's what I thought I read somewhere is that you're from North Dakota, but I mean, you spend a lot of time obviously in Minnesota. So Target Walleye just posted a video not long ago on YouTube with a bunch of big names talking about walleye limits. What's the scoop on that? And so they're trying to reduce the limit for walleye in Minnesota.
Yeah. So, I mean, like anything else, as things progress, we just thought we were talking about live scope and how we can see fish so far away and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm at with it. I'm okay with going to a less limit. I think it's needed because I don't want to call people out, but like we were talking not that long ago how when I was growing up, it wasn't a good day fishing with my grandfather unless I brought a pail of fish home. Right. Yeah. And there's still that mentality out there. But what people don't realize is it's way easier to catch fish now than it was even 10 years ago, whether you're in the boat or on the ice or like, I know they talk like Lake of the Woods is a good example. They keep track of like hours that get done on the ice. And it's like millions of fishing hours where it used to be hundreds of thousands of fishing hours, right? So the more time a line is down in the water, obviously there's going to be more fish caught with wheelhouses and live scope and snowmobiles that we're doing and everything that's going on. As outdoorsmen, we should be paying attention to this. And if we were doing it ourselves, like not keeping limits, like personally, I only keep fish if I'm going to eat it. I'll never freeze a fish. You know, like that's just me. That doesn't mean if you throw fish in the freezer that I think you're wrong. Personally, if I'm going to keep a fish, it's going to be eaten before I need to freeze it, you know?
Yep.
And that's just personal. And I don't have, and honestly, I have nothing wrong with anybody doing things inside the regulations, no matter where you're at. But I do think it does need to be addressed because here I am talking about bringing my son to some of the world-renowned fisheries. I want my son to be able to bring his son there and so on and so on, you know. And we're able to do that because of conservation. And conservation was put in place to make sure that these fisheries sustained. And now it's time to update conservation. And I'm totally on board with lowering the limits and taking a good look at all this stuff, no matter where it's at. And it's just people concerned about the future of our fisheries, you know, and with LiveScope and live scanning technology and all the different innovations in fishing in general, it's just making it easier to catch fish and making it easier for people to get on the lake, get on the ice, spend more time. So I think it only makes sense. That doesn't mean you can't go fishing. If you can only keep four, that doesn't mean you can't go fishing. I mean, people are on Mille Lacs and they only get to keep one fish for part of the year between like 20 and 23 inches and or one over 28, but there's still just hordes of people going there. If you love fishing, it's not all about keeping.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what
we could go on and on about this one.
Yeah.
This is a rabbit hole.
Yeah. I think we're kind of in agreement. Like we had a two-part episode with Gord Pizer and kind of same there. The big line that got picked up by a couple different websites and whatnot was about limiting your keep, not keeping your limit, and kind of learning the difference between those two, right? And I mean, like you said, if you're following the rules, you're well within your right to keep what you want, right? But even we just had a bourbon episode. I think it was the one before this. And me and Brian were just talking. That's my favorite species right now is burbot, and Brian loves them too. But like, I think our limit here is 8. And actually, I was talking to a buddy, and he was kind of letting me know that actually, from what they know so far about burbot, is that the mature burbot aren't spawning every single year. Like obviously there's going to be a burbot spawn going on every year, but that specific female might not spawn every year. So it's kind of things to think about there, right? But I mean, just in the sense of we were saying, like, once you get on burbot, it's not hard to catch them, right? Like they'll suck up pretty well anything, it seems, right? So it's just kind of about having that in the back of your head, like our limit here for burbot is 8, I believe, and I messed up the math pretty bad when I was doing it last episode, but I was like, do you really need 8 burbot? Like there's a ton of meat coming off of them, and like you said, I don't find freezing fish near as good. So
right, it's just, well, think about that. So I mean, 10 years ago there was very select few people even talking about fishing burbot, right? Everybody's caught them when they're fishing, doing whatever. And I can remember as a kid that you'd drive across a lake and there'd just be burbot sitting on the ice everywhere because they were junk fish, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people have been catching them and killing them. But now that the burbot has gained, I mean, we went up to Manitoba, up to Wekusko Falls, I think 4 years ago or 5 years ago now, strictly to catch burbot. Like we drove 10 hours to catch burbot on Reed Lake. And it's one of those things that the more attention you bring to it, the more people have to be aware of how we're treating it. And it's a resource. And like anything else, if you don't manage it correctly, we're going to lose it. And that's the last thing we want as sportsmen.
Yeah. And I think that's like we mentioned at the top of the episode, that's kind of maybe where we have a responsibility, whether it's a show as big as yours, whether it's the ethical handling or just the practice of being an ethical fisherman. And for us talking about it, like we have to do our due diligence. If we're going to talk about this is how you catch burbot, we should also probably throw in there that, hey, just kind of think about this, the way things have changed for these fish, right? So I think that's a part, especially, and it's something you see a ton more in all these shows too.
If you want to call yourself a sportsman, you can't only be aware of what's going on now. You have to be aware of the future as well. Like, how are we treating this resource? Like we just said, for my kid and his kid and your kid and their kid and or anybody that wants to enjoy the resources that are out there. You know, even as much as like Manitoba, some people may not like the barbless hooks, but I tend to debarb most of my hooks. That's my philosophy. It's easier on the fish and I'm okay with it, you know what I mean? Yeah. But and some people hate it and think, well, I have less of a chance to catch a limit. But if you're a true sportsman, and I'll call people out here, I mean, if you're a true sportsman, you're going to be worried about the future of your sport, not just the here and now.
Yeah, exactly. And the barbless is nicer for your fingers when it goes into it as well.
Oh my God, I don't want to get into that. Okay, so Mike, you've talked a little bit about Manitoba this, Manitoba that. Have you ever done an episode in Saskatchewan?
I haven't, but I'd love to.
You got to get here, you do.
Manitoba's just a skip and a jump for me. I've done a lot in Ontario and a lot in Manitoba. And I've bear hunted in Saskatchewan, but that's the only thing I've ever done there.
Well, you got to come wet a line and catch a couple dirty birds.
Let's set it up.
Bring that snow bear of yours.
Oh, that thing has made me a fair weather angler sometimes, I think. You get in there, it's like 50 below wind chill, and you jump in that thing, and you're like, huh? I don't even have on or anything. It's a lot of fun. It's really nice. I fished quite a bit, but I probably fished 15 to 20 days more this year than I ever did before, just because you're able to get out of the weather and the elements and
well,
you really don't want to.
Well, yeah, and you're reducing the number of things that you need to do. You need, instead of worrying about travel and this and this, you know, you don't need a snowmobile and a trailer and that, and you know, it's all just compacted into one. You just take out the snow bear, everything's there. You got your transportation and all of your gear locked and loaded, ready to go.
Even if you're jumping lakes, like it's like throw it on the trailer and go to the next lake. Just don't turn it off. Keep the heat on, and it's pretty fun. It's pretty
one
fun.
Day.
When you come, we'll bring her up.
Sounds good. One day, Logan. One day.
I do have to say, I don't blame you for the Ontario and Manitoba fishing there. I haven't fished in Ontario, but from the handful of trips I've done the last couple of years to Manitoba, it's like, oh my goodness, like the fishing, just like the areas they have are incredible, and we have some really good fishing as well, but I mean, going over there, it's like, ooh.
Well, we worked very closely with the guys at Travel Manitoba, you know, like from a very early stage of fish addictions, so we've gotten to visit some of the most some of the craziest spots up there and fish some of those, you know, world-renowned fishing areas that Manitoba has. And it's hard not to go. It's hard not to. It's so beautiful, and I'm sure it is over there too. But it's like, man, it's just the red carpet's been rolled out for us to go to Manitoba. So why not take it?
Yeah, no,
exactly. I hear you. I just wasn't sure. I can't recall. Like, I mean, I've been tuning into Fish Addictions for a while, but I just can't recall a Saskatchewan episode. So I was wondering if I missed it.
We'll have to figure it out. We'll do it. We'll get her done.
There you go. Logan, there was you were curious. What is your favorite fishing snack, Mike?
Oh yeah. Obviously you're asking everybody.
You're on the snack? Yeah, you're on the road lots. Like what's your favorite fishing snack?
Oh, I've got to go with the old meat stick. You shoot a deer every year and I eat the whole thing throughout the winter. Just grab a cooler full of meat sticks and it's in the truck And then as long as I got a new fishing partner this year, my dog Olive, and she she gets into the snacks. So, but if she doesn't get them, we do.
Yeah,
there you go.
My new question for everybody, because like as Brandon saw this weekend, like I'll go fishing and eating like is something that's just in the back of my head. It's like I don't even think about it, and it's like and I just starve myself all day. But for the whole mental game of being able to keep yourself going. It's such a different
honestly, day. Honestly, if you went to the back of my snowmobile right now, you would be disgusted because we stop at the gas station in the morning before we go to the ice. We buy all these snacks. I throw the bag in the back of my snowmobile so I don't forget it. And then all of a sudden, it's time to get off the ice, and I haven't touched a bottle of water. I haven't touched any snacks in the back of my snowmobile. And, you know, I get home, and I usually have 2-3 days at home before we're gone. And again, so a lot of times we're getting home late. I'll throw the snowmobile in the shop so it thaws out, not take the snacks out. And then like 3 trips later, it's like, I've got the whole gas station in the back of my snowmobile. But I get criticized a lot because, you know, it seems like the only time we eat on the ice is when the camera guys are like, are we going to film eating today so I can actually eat?
Yeah.
That's one thing all camera guys are alike. They're always wondering when the next meal is. So,
yeah, they're always hungry. No, 100%. We were out fishing the other day and I was like, man, I'm getting hungry. I grabbed a meat stick, a processed one, not a,
yeah, a hot rod.
not venison.
Salt in a stick.
Yeah, just freaking salt in a stick. I actually think there's chicken in it. I said, Logan, you want one? He's like, oh, I guess so. I was like, well, frick, no wonder you're 100 pounds soaking wet. You never eat.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Unless somebody's passing it out, you don't even think about it.
Yeah. No, for sure. But what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say that I usually come home dehydrated and hungry.
Oh, yeah. Dehydration's a big one there.
Yeah.
But I guess we've had you for an hour 10, which is kind of, I guess, almost longer than lots of ours are. We've been actually doing a lot of two-parters because the conversation just seems to fly off the handle and goes wherever. But you're obviously a busy guy. I think one thing that me and Brandon would maybe both like to end it on, I know it's hard to look into the future, but we're both kind of wondering, where do you see this all going, say, like 5-10 years down the line?
You know, we've already started making that transition. So I told you we're not on network TV anymore. We did that strategically. So now we're on any web-based TV channel that has outdoor channels or outdoor stuff on it, we're on it, whether it's KOTV, Waypoint TV, Carbon TV, Outdoor Action TV. So you can find us on Hulu, Apple TV. I mean, all those so we've kind of broadened theirs. And that's where I see everything kind of going for us, is we're just going to continue down that road. Now, the one thing that we do every year, and obviously you guys know since you've watched, is we try to change something up every year. Like, we're not doing the same thing every single year. Like, this year we got rid of last year we did the big ice house. We pulled everywhere, and we stayed in the ice house all year long. This year was a pickup camper, which I can tell you was tight, but we made it work. And we added the snow bear. You know, next year I don't know what we'll do. We'll try to add something else into it. Make it, keeps it fun for us, keeps it fun for everybody watching. Yeah, I mean, I just want to keep doing it, you know. I mean, whatever it takes. It's a lot of fun, and it a lot of family support. And I always like to tell the, you know, after I do something like this, a lot of people always reach out and be like, how do I get into this? Just be true to yourself. Have a lot of fun. That's what I'm going to continue to do for the next 5, 10, 15 years. Hopefully it continues on this. And everything will work out. Like, even with you guys are doing, as long as you do you, you're going to be fine. And you're going to have a lot of fun doing it. And if you don't seem fake and you don't seem like you're trying to force it, you just do it and have fun. And whatever comes, comes. You're going to have good episodes. You're going to have bad episodes. You're going to have great episodes. And it's all about what you put into it and how you, if you really want to be there and really want to do it. So 5 to 10 years, it's hard to say. We're going to keep changing it up. Ice is always going to be our big thing. In the summer, I own a landscaping business as well, so I have a lot of time put into that. Tournament fishing will probably come back around. We've been known to film our tournament series in the summer. And my hope is that I do this summer series with Jake, and he turns into my tournament partner, and I can't think of anything better than sharing the boat with him in tournaments and hopefully doing well. So yeah, that's where I see it going.
So what I'm seeing is the way YouTube goes, for a lot of the fishing and outdoor stuff, the box truck.
Nope.
Not after this.
Nope. The pickup camper was close enough to that. And that was more just so we didn't have to do the hotels and do all that kind of stuff. It was kind of fun to park on the lake, turn the camper on and the heat on in there and just BS and do what we wanted to do. I don't see myself sleeping in the topper of a pickup anytime soon.
No. I try.
I'm not getting younger. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So for anybody listening, where can they find you, Mike?
So you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. We have, pretty much anything and everything we're doing something on. We actually just started doing, the big thing lately has been TikTok. So we're doing all the short little videos. I got onto TikTok even. And then Carbon TV, KOTV, Waypoint TV, Outdoor Action TV. You can find all those kind of things on like Hulu, Apple TV, any online, you can watch all the episodes. And we've loaded most of all of our seasons on all those. So you can go back and binge watch like 8 years of Fish Addictions TV if you really want. So that's a really cool thing for us. And that's the other cool thing about web TV. And that's kind of why we went that way, was just, you can watch it on demand whenever, right? I mean, maybe you didn't catch a week and now it's always there. And I know YouTube always did that for us, but we've had some just giant audiences on this platform because, you know, it showcases us throughout the whole, if you want, you know? Right. Pretty cool that way.
And then
way.
You guys got the podcast check us out. Too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got the podcast Thor and I do together. And honestly, we've been lacking on doing it this year because we've been just hammering out like fishing episodes and different things coming out. And we've been getting hammered for not doing it, and we need to get back on it. But yeah, we've got the real talk, and we've got a couple fun videos that we just released one last week. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it. It's like the game show video where one of my buddies who doesn't really know a lot of the guys like asks us our favorite places to go, that kind of stuff. Check that one out. It's pretty fun. It's a fun, just a different twist on a video. It's not anything. It's us razzing each other for a half hour. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I actually just started watching that one before this, and then had to come down for the interview. So I'll have to finish that video.
Yeah, let me know what you think of it.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time, Mike. This has been fun. We appreciate sitting down, talking fishing, and getting a perspective from somebody like yourself that's been doing fishing shows for quite some time. So thank you, and we hope we can do this again, and maybe get out and wet a line.
Absolutely. I hope we can do both. And anytime, guys, it's a lot of fun to talk fishing, especially with guys that love doing it and love talking about it and could talk for hours. So thank you, guys.
No doubt. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Maybe learned some things, pick some things up that kind of show how much work actually goes into the behind the scenes and getting those episodes that we've all been watching for the past decade. I mean, I know me and you, Brandon, we were pretty pumped that he was able to come on and kind of talk with us and let us pick his brain because we've been watching his stuff for so long.
Yeah, and I mean, Mike's just a great guy. Like he said throughout that whole interview, basically, the whole process of and purpose of Fish Addictions TV is, yeah, to catch fish, but it's also to show, the realistic, authentic, behind the scenes, real life situations that they go through to catch those fish. And he's such a genuine dude, and we just appreciated sitting down and talking fishing, and hopefully we can one day team up with him, and whether that us go down there or him come up to Saskatchewan and just wet a line and get to know him a little bit better.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we're going to keep this one short and sweet. I did want to mention again, 13 Fishing.
Yes.
Great time for us here in Saskatchewan. Like we mentioned at the top of the episode, season's ending. I guess we'll be done by the time this comes out. So good time to get those orders in, get that stuff ready that you're going to be wanting for whether it's that spring walleye bite, whatever you got going on, right? It's a good time to stock up while you can't be fishing anyways and get those things ready.
Yeah, I know myself, I'm going to be picking up a new rigging rod, a new jigging rod, a couple new reels. They came out with a new series of reels, the Kalen.
Yeah, I saw that.
And right, I mean, this 15% off is not just 13 Fishing specific. This is Rapella.ca wide. So a lot of you walleye guys, obviously, jigging wraps. Those are a big bait for fish. There's a couple new colors that just came out. Go get them while they're available. They're not going to be available for long. Obviously, due with COVID, inventory is always limited. You're not sure, how long things are going to be available, when it's going to be restocked. Go save yourself 15% off. Stock up on some jigging wraps.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Tons of great products.
Good time to do that.
Tons of great products on Rapella.ca.
Yeah, but I guess thanks for tuning in. I do think that some of the Saskatchewan fishermen are going to be pretty interested in the next interview that we have coming.
Yep.
I won't say too much about that, but it might be getting a little sciencey up in here with the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. So be sure to stay tuned to that one or for that one. But thank you very much for tuning into this one. And I guess get ready for that open water season.
Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your favorite listening platform so we can reach more anglers just like you. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for media updates and behind-the-scenes content.